May the Lord help us to commence our anniversary services by singing hymn number 634. I hope we are all meeting around the throne of grace, though we would fear to call ourselves saints. Hymn 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast. While Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
chapter 3 together from the Holy Word of God, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. The Gospel according to Matthew, reading chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go, and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if he will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. O Lord God, almighty, most holy, most gracious, most merciful, and help us now to come before thee in this solemn attitude of prayer, all that we might draw nigh unto God, and to prove he will draw nigh unto you. For Lord, truly without thee we can do nothing. Oh, what poor sinners we are. Left to ourselves we cannot pray. Or we can say words, we can use expressions, we can copy language, we can repeat scripture, but we cannot pray. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to grant us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thy blessed Spirit, to make intercession for us, to help our infirmities of groanings which cannot be uttered, to cause us to pray according to the will of God. And all we do esteem it such a great privilege for the wonderful provision of the throne of grace, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, that place ordained of God, and there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims. Lord, draw us unto thyself. Oh, do come and commune with us, Lord, we pray. And Lord, as we sang in our opening hymn, oh, may it be such a prayerful concern with each one of us, if Jesus be but there. Oh, how we long for thy felt presence. Lord, thou knowest the strange and peculiar circumstances we find ourselves in this afternoon on this anniversary occasion for the cause of truth at Swayze, and to think that the chapel doors are shut, the chapel is empty. Lord, we meet together in our homes, And we would be thankful for the means whereby a service can yet be held, a service is to be held this day. Lord, that we can sing the hymns. We would be thankful for this and to hear thy word, for one to try and lead in prayer and to preach a gospel. Lord, we would be thankful, but never had we anticipated even this time last year that we would be found in such strange circumstances as we are. Lord, rule and overrule, and do come to us wherever we may be found. For Lord, we would meet together in thy name. And oh Lord, to prove thy felt presence wherever we are. And Lord, whatever room we may be found in, do make it a little sanctuary, if Jesus be but there. Oh, do come and solemnize our hearts and our minds. Lord, there are so many things around us to distract us and to disturb us. Oh, Lord, do be pleased to grant us a quiet time together. And oh, Lord, that we might feel to be that place where we come to worship God and taken up with the worship of God, to worship God in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, if Jesus be but there. So, Lord, remember us. We look to thee. We would trust in thee. Oh, Lord, do come. Might we constrain thee like those two on the road to Emmaus. And they constrained him. And he went in and tarried with them. Oh, might we also by faith constrain thee. Oh, Lord, abide with us. Remember us. Come and do us good. And oh, Lord, as we meet on this anniversary occasion, we would be thankful for thy mercies unto the cause and the friends at Swayze, as they may look back and reflect upon another year to raise their Ebenezers, or having obtained help of God, they continue. And, O Lord, do remember them still as they yet continue. And we would be thankful, Lord, where souls have been wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, where hearts have been touched, where souls have been led, or where one and another have been enabled to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. To make that open profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus, that repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. All the Lord adding such as shall be saved. Oh Lord, we also would be thankful where natural life has been given, and lives have been spared. We would be thankful for thy goodness and kindness, the supply of every need. And oh Lord, we truly would rejoice with those who do rejoice and mourn with those who do mourn. So Lord, do bless the cause at Swayze, the deacons, do help them, remember them, grant much grace and wisdom. Lord, do remember each church member, do help them, and Lord, in their profession of faith. And oh Lord, remember each one in the congregation, from the youngest to the eldest. And we think of the little ones, the children, the young people. And Lord, we think of them at this time, and oh, how hard it must be to, as it were, go to chapel but not go to chapel, to hold chapel in their own homes. Oh Lord, do remember them and help them. And parents also, trying to explain to the children these things. Oh, do grant thy gracious help. Remember the young people also growing up into life, into adulthood, going forth in their various ways. Lord, to be with them and help them. And do, Lord, remember all in the midst of life. Lord, with many responsibilities and duties, and many matters to deal with in the home, the workplace, under normal circumstances, and decisions which have to be made. Oh, Lord, do grant thy gracious help day by day. Oh, Lord, remember older friends also in their latter years and years of weakness, perhaps affliction, infirmities. Lord, sanctify these things unto them. So, Lord, remember each and every one. Would it please thee, Lord, yet to work mightily in the midst, to call sinners by thy grace? Oh, may many souls yet be awakened and quickened, and many led to the feet of Jesus. Oh, may there yet be those the lame to walk, Lord, the dumb to speak, to declare what great things thou hast done for them. All those in captivity and bondage, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Those walking in darkness and have no light, and yet darkness keenly felt. And, O Lord, those who feel to be forsaken, forgotten, even feel to be abandoned, even feel to be cast out, Lord, remember such. Oh, do go to them and bless them. We pray for those who are struggling in one way or another. And Lord, at this time with this virus, with these restrictions, oh, many perhaps are struggling. How it's affected our lives. We cannot continue as once we did. Lord, we think of the children not able to go to school, the young people in all of their studies, and those who've had their examinations cancelled, those, Lord, with great fears concerning the future, employments, those in employments, and even questions over their employments, those who are very troubled, Lord, at the fallout of these things. Oh, Lord, remember each and every one. We pray for those, Lord, in loneliness, those who live on their own, those, Lord, unable to meet with anyone else, and oh, how they long for that time, and they yet may be unable to go abroad to meet with family, friends, and oh, Lord, remember them. Do remember those in afflictions, infirmities, those, Lord, who perhaps have suffered with this virus to a greater or lesser extent, or grant healing, restoring, strengthening, sanctifying mercies. Oh, Lord, who remember those struggling with all the things surrounding this virus in our own nation, in the world, how it's overwhelmed the whole world. And, oh, Lord, are not thy judgments abroad? And did we not read, Lord, of Capernaum? Oh, did we not read of Chorazin, Bethsaida, that they repented not? And we do fear and tremble. It is so with our nation. Tremendous judgments, but we see no repentance. Lord, first we would begin with ourselves. Oh, Lord, have these judgments so caused us to consider our ways. Oh, to consider what liberties we had in going up to the house of God. Never did we think that we would be prevented in such a way. Oh, Lord, may there be much heart-searching to consider our ways. And grant us that repentance. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, fearful, and repent. Lord, in Zion, have we grieved thy Holy Spirit? Lord, are we doing things which our forefathers would be so troubled with? Are we doing things, Lord, which bring thy frown and displeasure, the hiding of thy face? O Lord, have mercy and show us. The one of old prays, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. O Lord, bring us to true repentance. O Lord, to return unto thee. And O, as a nation once so highly favoured and blessed, a nation greatly blessed of God, and Lord, at this time and an anniversary to remember the liberation from the enemies at that time, and a day of rejoicing, a day of great relief. And we know, all being well, should the restrictions at this present time be lifted, it will be a great relief. Well, how much more so it must have been to those 70 years ago under the dark clouds of war, and when at times the enemies were making advances and there was great fear, consternation, great alarm. But Lord, oh, what a difference in those days when a day of prayer was called. Oh, how many turned into the places of worship. Oh, how the godly cried unto thee, what prayer was put up. And oh, when the deliverance came, what thanksgiving there was unto God. Lord, for godly acknowledge thy good and gracious and merciful hand in answer to prayer. Now, Lord, 70 years later, oh, our nation has fallen, dreadfully fallen, turned its back upon thee, cast out thy word, desecrated thy day, oh, committed all manner of evils and wickedness and abominations, provoked thee to anger and wrath. Oh, Lord, should we be surprised at thy judgments? And Lord, whether it be true or not, we do not know that we must leave, whether our nation has been affected more than any other nation. And yet we do fear that we have provoked thee more than any other nation. Oh, Lord, truly thy word is trampled underfoot. And the great cry of the populace is, we will not have this man and his word to reign over us. And the idols, the false gods, the heathen, the wickedness. Oh, the filth, the awful state in which we are in. And we fear there is that of repenting not. Oh, what will it take to bring our nation to true repentance? Thou knowest. But Lord, may we be found amongst that number, amongst that little remnant, among those few who tremble at the ark of God and know what Israel ought to do. Or may we be found amongst those who own thy uplifted just hand, which thousands cannot, will not see. Those who tremble before thee and plead for mercy. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy, for thou art merciful. Lord, we look to thee. Rule and overrule at this time. Lord, remember thy people. Lord, we have felt touched in hearing of a minister recently quoting, or really saying, that the Lord's concern in the earth is his church, his people. That's what matters to him. Oh, what a great mercy if we're found amongst thy people, the living family of God. The Lord, all things work together for good, because all things are of God. Then, Lord, remember us at this time. Grant us much grace to bow before thee, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, to commit all unto thee, and to wait only upon thee, to live that life of faith. And grant us that grace to walk humbly with thee, to so let our light shine before men, and to show the world how Christians live. Oh, we feel to come so far short. We feel so troubled and ashamed. Lord, have mercy. Oh, to be found with the fear of God in our hearts, that unctuous light to all that is right, but also that preventive bar to all that is wrong, all to be kept, for we cannot keep ourselves. Lord, we would be thankful for all thy many mercies towards us. We have much to be thankful for, still all our needs supplied. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And whene'er thy people have need, thy goodness will find out a way. In one way or another, my God shall supply your every need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. And we would be thankful. Now, Lord, do help us as we would further sing thy worthy praises. Help us as we turn to thy word. Oh, do shine upon it. May we see light in thy light, that which I see not. Teach our me. Hear our poor prayer. Forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn number 309. 309. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. Hymn number 309.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct your prayerful attention this afternoon to the chapter we read together from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. First of all, it is not clear if these were the words of John or the two disciples he sent to the Lord Jesus. If this request, this confirmation came from John, who was in the prison, or whether it be from the two disciples he sent to the Lord Jesus, I feel it is not made clear. There are those who really strongly feel it could never be John. John the Baptist, a man of great faith, or the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He who by Jordan, when Jesus was coming toward him, would declare before all and sundry, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He who baptized the Lord Jesus suffered it to be so, and was a witness and heard the Father speaking out of heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, saw the dove, signifying the Holy Spirit, come and rest upon Christ. John, who was so great in faith and preaching as the Lord bid him preach. But here we find John in different circumstances, and I'm not suggesting that different circumstances means that the Lord's people do not always have that strong faith, but we now find John in prison, and no doubt the prisons of those days were awful places. Perhaps we find him literally in chains and fetters. I'm sure we find him in darkness. We find him bound. We may find him perhaps very hungry, very thirsty, being deprived of so much food and drink. And when we think at this time of ourselves with various restrictions and continued what it must have been like for John, it would seem apparent that he could certainly commune with his disciples here. He could speak unto them to give them this message. So there are those who feel that John was yet strong in faith and in speaking these words would have these two disciples strengthened in their faith. Was it not John Baptist who said concerning Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease? And he would have these two disciples no longer follow him, but follow the Lord Jesus. He would have these disciples, perhaps John knew his end was nigh, that he would not come out of that prison, certainly not alive. And anticipating that day of death to be taken to heaven. And he knew his disciples would mourn the loss of him, in that sense their master, but would have them go to the Lord Jesus and have the Lord Jesus, as it were, confirm unto his disciples that it was he, the Messiah. But as this word seemed to lay upon me, and I thought of John Baptist, and yes, a man of great faith, But did not the Lord Jesus, or was it the apostle speaking there of Elias, a man of like passions like you and me? And John, yes, greatly favoured, greatly blessed, but he was still a real man. He was a sinner. He must have been born in sin like everyone else apart from the Lord Jesus. Natural conception. And John also, surely, having feelings like all the Lord's dear people, would know what it is to have his faith tried, sorely tried, greatly tried. And here he was in his prison, all because he had spoken against Herodias, against Herod. It was not lawful for him to have that woman. And for this, he was cast into prison. Well, there is that he was no stranger with former prophets in the Old Testament. We only need to think of Jeremiah as one, who also was cast into prison, and many others also who were cast into prison for speaking the truth. And there was John. And we do just wonder, perhaps it was John, feeling so troubled, so tried, so burdened, and he just longed for that confirmation. Because the Lord Jesus did say to go and show John again, go and make these things known unto John, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have a gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, one thing is quite clear. John Baptist is now in heaven with Christ, which is far better. He lived his life here upon this earth. And that time came when he must die. You see, the different ways in which men die. It was the Lord's will that John should be beheaded there in the prison. But he would never come forth out of that prison. His work was done and taken straightway to glory. I was rather touched in our second hymn. It speaks there of the course of a Christian, the pathway appointed. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. And so all the Lord's dear people, with the Lord's dealings, the way the Lord may lead them, things which may come upon them. And do we not read that the Lord trieth the righteous? And so the Lord's people from time to time, they come into these trials, they come into these troubles. At times they come into darkness, they come into bondage, they come into captivity, they come into situations where they really struggle, and they long for that confirmation. And perhaps as some of you this afternoon, you're struggling. Oh, it may be that you're in darkness, spiritual darkness. Things are not now as they once were. All that time of your first love has certainly gone. Perhaps there are some of you who feel like the dear psalmist, oh, in that prison, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Or you feel to be again, I'm just turning to it there in the psalm, or where the Lord's people were in such a low place, they were really struggling with their circumstances, with things which had befallen them. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remember Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh, as if your harp is upon a willows. You really struggle to sing forth God's praises at this present time. Oh, you feel to be in such darkness, captivity, bondage. It may be perhaps you feel to be likened to that woman we read of in Scripture in the Gospel. She could in no wise lift up herself. And did not the Lord Jesus say concerning her, whom Satan hath bound, was it these 18 years? Oh, not 8 hours, not 8 days, not 8 weeks, 18 long, burdensome, wearisome, trying years. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Perhaps some of you feel to be forsaken. To every living soul, or to every quickened soul, that is such a sore trial when we feel to be forsaken. Of course, we have that promise, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But that doesn't stop Satan coming with one of those fiery darts, as it were, injecting it right into our heart. Yea, hath God said? And there's that question mark. Or there is that question mark. And you feel to be forsaken, no doubt, for a number of reasons. Perhaps things have gone wrong. Perhaps your pathway is very crooked. Perhaps it has become very difficult, very trying. Or perhaps all your plans and your schemes have now all been scattered abroad. Or perhaps those things which you had anticipated have not come to pass. And you just cannot understand these things. Again, oh, to those of you praying souls, and all those unanswered prayers. You think of Martha and Mary. Oh, how their faith must have been so sorely tried. I hadn't really thought of them in meditation. You see, when Lazarus was taken sick, they sent message unto Jesus, he whom thou lovest is sick. And within that message, there was a come quickly. Come and heal Lazarus. Thou dost love Lazarus. Thou dost love us. Oh, do come and heal our brother. And I'm sure as those two dear sisters spake together, they anticipated the Lord Jesus to come. Perhaps they would thought he would come nigh on immediately with haste. And they knew that the Lord Jesus had healed so many who were sick. Perhaps they knew of Simon's mother-in-law and how the Lord Jesus healed her, and others also who came to the Lord Jesus. Surely he would come and heal Lazarus. Surely. But time passed, and Jesus didn't come. And I'm sure as time passed, those two dear sisters were looking at their brother, and he was waxing worse and worse. And I'm sure they became restless. It may have been with the character of Martha that she became physically restless, perhaps pacing up and down, kept looking out, as it were, the door of a window to see when the Lord Jesus was coming. Mary, a different disposition, perhaps sitting quietly, but perhaps in her mind, all very restless. Well, surely the Lord Jesus will come. He must come. We made it a matter of prayer. Surely he will come in answer to our prayer. And there was Lazarus. And then he died. And Jesus hadn't come. Their hopes have been dashed. And perhaps at such a time the enemy roared into their hearts, and where is now thy God? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Oh, how their faith must have been so sorely tried at that time. And we see something of that time when Jesus did come 4 days later. Both Martha, who went out to meet Jesus, and then Mary separately when Jesus called for her, both came with that same perplexing question. Lord, if thou had been here, our brother had not died. As if they were saying, Lord, why didst thou not come? Why didst thou not come? I really don't know. I don't know anything about any one of you listening. Of course, we cannot see you. But there may be one or another here this afternoon, and it may be so with you. You just cannot understand these things, which to you have caused you many tears, many sorrows, many cries, many perplexing thoughts. You just cannot understand why the Lord hasn't answered your prayer, why the Lord hasn't come. And in this you feel to be forsaken and forgotten, nigh on abandoned. You cannot just lay straight this most crooked thing. You cannot see any light in this most dark matter. Oh, everything seems to be confusion. I am full of confusion. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? The Lord will try the faith of his people. Dear friends, at times that faith is sorely tried, greatly tried. Job's faith was greatly tried, or what he was called to pass through. But then the Lord permitted Satan to cause havoc in the life of Job. Satan will attempt to cause havoc in the lives of the Lord's people. He has one aim, and that is to cause them to make shipwreck of faith, if you will, to look for another, to turn aside, to take their eyes off the Lord Jesus, to cause them to utter despair, to cause them, well, like those we read of in John 6, they turned back and followed him no more. Of course, they were only nominal disciples. But doesn't that cause a great fear and alarm in our hearts? Are we nominal disciples? You see, it comes right at the core. Am I made a real Christian? Is my religion real? Am I one of the true disciples of the Lord Jesus? Or have I found grace in his sight? Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? And you see, unanswered prayer. Oh, it is so trying, so painful, when we believe the Lord whom we worship is the true and living God, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God. But like Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Again, I just turn to that chapter, because what a path, what a strange, mysterious, trying pathway dear Jeremiah must walk. I'll just read a few verses. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gore and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Oh, when our faith is so tried, when we feel to be so tempted, perhaps nigh on to despair, when it seems our hopes have been dashed, and not only Martha and Mary. Oh, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died, but I think of Jairus also, and how the Lord Jesus was with him and said that he would come to heal his daughter. But as he was coming, there was an interruption, and it was that woman with the issue of blood. And we just think of Jairus looking on when Jesus said, somebody have touched me. Jesus stopped. For Jairus, this must have been such a painful thing. Oh, with haste, we must get to my home for my daughter. But no, somebody have touched me. And then that woman came and spoke before all of how she had come and what the Lord had done for her. And the words of the Lord Jesus to that woman, go thy way, or go in peace, thy faith hath saved thee. And just as the Lord Jesus was uttering those words to that woman, so a servant from the house of Jairus comes, no doubt looking very sad, very troubled, and very pale. And those words he spoke unto Jairus, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Oh, it's all over now. Nothing can be done. Oh, you see how Jairus had had his hopes raised when Jesus was coming, and now he has his hopes dashed. Oh, it was all over. Nothing could be done. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Oh, how the Lord Jesus comes to speak that word of confirmation. Believe only. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? What faith we need. Even when we feel to have no faith, or feel to have so little faith, to trust in the Lord. Like Job again, when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though everything seems to be going wrong, though nothing seems to be going right, though I feel to be forsaken, forgotten, abandoned, though my prayers seem to be unanswered, oh, still to trust in him. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Again, it may be with those of you seeking the Lord Jesus, and you long to find him, and to know that he is your Saviour, your Redeemer. Oh, one thing you do know is that you need saving from your sins. And only the Lord Jesus can save you. And you would be found seeking him, if haply you might find him? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The Lord Jesus warned of those who shall come in his name, deceivers. He warned of false teachers. He warned of those who should say, I am Christ, and so on. Now, the people of God long for that sweet assurance, not only that their religion is real, but as such, the Lord Jesus is their Saviour. There is that little verse, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I rest my whole eternity. Because one day we all must die. One day each one of us must give up the ghost. After death, the judgment, eternity, tremendous sound. And if we know anything of the plague of our own hearts, we know what we deserve, how unspeakably solemn. Those of you truly convicted of your sins, those of you who know what it is to be a sinner, a guilty sinner, and yet would flee from the wrath to come, and by faith to flee to that refuge for sinners, Jesus only. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now to me this is a very solemn thought. We are told in the word of God that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We read the words of the Lord Jesus that out of the heart of man proceed most evil things, evil thoughts. Now, left to ourselves, we would deceive ourselves. Is it one of our greatest fears of deceiving ourselves? Again, when we read of the foolish virgins, when we read of a tares in the field of wheat, or when we read of one who has, or said of himself, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, those who have a name to live and yet are dead. And when we consider all around us so many who profess Christianity, of whom we fear those words of Anne Steele are applicable, what impious, and that means ungodly, what impious numbers, bold in sin, disgrace the Christian name. Oh, how we fear lest we should be deceived. Lord, if I am deceived, undeceive me. If I am deceiving others, Lord, oh, undeceive me. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Make thyself known to me as the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, reveal thyself to me. Oh, may it be like John of old. Oh, those things which ye do hear and see, the blind receive their sight. Lord, open my eyes. The lame walk. Lord, cause me to walk by faith and not by sight. The lepers are cleansed. Lord, the leprosy of sin, I'm full of it. And only thou canst cleanse me. And the deaf, hear. Lord, cause me to hear thy voice. My sheep hear my voice. Lord, by nature I'm deaf. Cause me to hear. The dead are raised up, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, to be a living soul amongst a living family of God, and the poor have a gospel preached unto them. Oh, to be one of those poor sinners to whom the gospel, the glad tidings of great joy, is preached to them. Oh, to be found like Lydia of old, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things spoken of by Paul. That was a gospel. Oh, that was a glorious gospel. And in our lives and the Lord's dealings and the perplexing way in which perhaps we must walk, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. At times, perhaps we may feel to be offended. It sounds a strong word. The children of Israel were offended when their pathway became hard and trying and difficult. We read that they murmured against God. Am I the only one this afternoon guilty of murmuring against God? Oh, it may not be outward murmuring. It can be murmuring within. Is it not a sad truth that the greatest idol that we worship is the idol called self? Self-pity. Feeling sorry for ourselves, putting self first, self-love, and so on. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, did the Lord promise his people an easy and smooth and prosperous pathway? I think not. We're called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Or are we not called to, in the world ye shall have tribulation? And again, but we must needs through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are the Lord's people not described as pilgrims and strangers, that this is not our rest? But when we come into these troubles and trials, when we come into these difficulties and problems, when we feel to be forsaken, forgotten, or when we long for that sweet assurance that I am thine, thou art mine, or how we long to know that gospel liberty, and to feel that sweet assurance of being one of his true disciples who hear his voice and follow him. Well, at times of darkness, and times of oppression, and times of distress, may the Lord help us still to trust in him. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? And you see, the natural man would look for another. Satan would tempt us to look for another. We lean upon our own understanding, we look for another. But he that should come, the promised Messiah, the Saviour, oh, what the Lord is unto his people, he is everything, everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, would we know him as our shepherd? You see, we fear that sin of unbelief, but we would also fear that dreadful sin of presumption. How many presume the Lord is their shepherd without that evidence of hearing his voice? My sheep hear my voice. Oh, how that longing soul so desires to hear the Lord's voice. Or perhaps we need, it is I, be not afraid. Or perhaps we need that word, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? To commit all unto God. You know, doesn't it search us out? Do we really commit all unto God? Or do we commit some unto self, some unto man, some unto reason, some unto sense? Would we commit all unto God? Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another to partially help as well, to partially assist as well, to partially give counsel as well? Or do we look for another? And sadly, I fear at times that we do look for another. But I believe the Lord will teach his people to look to him alone. You see, it's running with patience the race that is set before us. Yes, the course that you and I must steer, the way that you and I must go, the things we are called to pass through, to endure, to suffer. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? The way that we must go, ordered of God, he led them forth by the right way. Well, may the Lord help us to look to him alone. The great lesson Peter must learn when walking on the water: take his eyes off the Lord Jesus. He begins to sink. Dear friends, we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus. We look at another, and then we begin to sink. Oh, may the Lord help us, enable us to look to him. And by looking to him, to walk by faith and not by sight. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And so these things which we pass through, these things which we endure, oh, let us remember those words in Romans 8, well known, well loved, and we know. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Yes, it may be that we cannot understand these things. Well, does it not give us room for faith? Or to lean not to our own understanding? Yes, we cannot understand these things. But you see, as it was with Jesus, and the 5,000 he would feed, he himself knew what he would do. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. The Lord knows how to bring good from it. The Lord knows how to revive the faith of his people. He knows how to restore his people. He knows how to comfort his people in such wonderful ways. What a great comfort that would have been to Martha and Mary when Lazarus was restored unto them. The wonders God alone can do. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Now, in committing all unto him, there is that waiting only upon him. My soul, wait thou only upon God. I just feel there's some emphasis there on that word only. Wait thou only upon God, or do we look for another? Yes, we would rather to have some independence. We would rather have something to lean upon, something of understanding, something of natural wisdom, something of common sense. But the Lord weans his people from every single prop. He takes them away, that they might learn to lean upon him. It describes the church of God. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And we have that hymn, let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all sufficient grace, proving my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? May the Lord grant us that gracious discernment to discern his voice, to discern his hand, to discern his arm, to discern his way, to discern his leadings, or to discern, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I trust each one of us this afternoon believes in the sovereignty of God. And yet at times we struggle with the sovereignty of God. And at times perhaps it comes down to that one word question, why? Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason? Why hasn't the Lord answered my prayer? Why hasn't Jehovah Jireh provided for me? Why hasn't the Lord made a way for me? Why hasn't the Lord appeared for me? Why hasn't the Lord made himself known unto me? Why hasn't the Lord hearkened unto the voice of my cries, of my supplications? Why? Once David was strong in faith when he would go down against Goliath. But then, really, a little while later, we find him fleeing from King Saul. And he came to that conclusion, one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to go into the land of the Philistines. He got to his end, wit's end. He just couldn't understand why King Saul would pursue him. He couldn't understand that time when Samuel came to anoint him. Nothing seemed to make sense. Everything seemed to have gone wrong. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? We know that David had to suffer much for leaning to his own understanding. But the Lord would rule and overrule. And we have that word, don't we, after the burning of Ziklag, when they return and no one there, and the city burned with fire. And some of the men who have been with David, they speak of stoning David to death, blaming him for this catastrophe. And David was greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, there's a lesson I believe the Lord will teach all his people. I mentioned earlier in John 6, when those nominal disciples turned back and followed him no more, and Jesus turned to his true disciples and said unto them, will ye also go away, if you will, and look for another? And Peter, well, he said in his time many rash and impetuous things, many unwise things, but at this time he spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, at that time, he was fully persuaded of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there was no other, no looking for another, no going back with those nominal disciples, no leaving of the Lord Jesus, though many had. No, to whom shall we go? And this, I believe, the Lord will teach his people. To whom shall we go? There is no other. No other. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Jesus only. My only hope. My only plea. Oh, waiting upon him in prayer. Committing all unto him. But longing. Oh, longing to be made sure. Whether it was John, whether it was these two disciples, again, we must leave it. But there was that longing to be made sure. And the Lord's dear people, oh, at times they long to be made sure. We have that wonderful word in the Song of Solomon. I wonder how many of us this afternoon can truly say that my beloved is mine and I am his. Oh, to truly feel all is well for time and for eternity. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, it's been on my mind during the service on and off, and I just close with these thoughts. And it's that little verse entitled Footsteps in the Sand. I'm sure many of you know it. And so this man in a dream, he comes to the end of his life. He is now with the Lord Jesus, but he looks back upon his life as those footsteps in the sand from the time of his conversion. And there was his footsteps, and there were the footsteps of the Lord Jesus with him I will be with thee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But as he looks further into those years, in the footsteps, he notices that sometimes there was only one set of footprints. And he sees it was at such times when he was in affliction, when he was in trouble, when he was in distress, when he was in darkness, when he was in grief. Lord, why was it at such times that thou didst leave me? My dear child, at such times I carried thee. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have a gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The amount sent today for the collections will be for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. This evening's service will be at 6:15, God willing. Let us close with hymn number 321. 321. My soul, Lord, in flame, with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love, to lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. Hymn number 321.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.